only again.
Playing one intro now?
No, we did two.
I don't think so.
Oh.
This is the second day you've only done that.
Hello, my friends.
Changing it up a little. Hi, everyone.
I could have sworn I did both. Nope. Oh, dale. What's going on? Hey, what's going on, my friends? It is Saturday. We're doing a lunch and learn on Saturday, which is pretty unusual. Usually we do that only during the week. But, you know, maybe people like me where they're like at a skate park with their kids and have nothing else to do. They get tired of watching them go in circles.
Oh, there you go.
Maybe. Maybe. You never know.
Clap. Oh, good.
Oh, good. You did so good.
That was fantastic.
That's fantastic. Hey, go to CaliforniaParentAlliance.org and sign up and subscribe for being involved with what we're doing to change everything that's happening here with our kids in California. We're reading from Smith Wigglesworth devotional.
He's showing the books, folks, on the podcast.
Yes, sir. We go. It is a great, great book. And I got to say again, I'm taking me into areas that, you know, I may have been told, or I remember the story that we're about to read. I remember the story, but
everyone
I never
knows the story.
Yeah, but never really thought about it much. Just thought it was really weird. Really weird story. But we are reading again from Smith Wigglesworth's devotional for November 27th. The title of today's devotional is Misled by a Voice, Part 1. The reference is 1 John 4:1, and it says, "Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God." The scripture reading is Judges 6:36 through 7:22. Smith says in this devotional, he said, "Two sisters were saved in our meetings and were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were very lovely women, full of purity, truth, and righteousness. No one could look at them without admiring them. Both of them worked in a telegraph office and both desired to be missionaries. They were so zealous to be missionaries that they were laying aside money and doing everything they could in order to be prepared to go to the mission field. One of them was operating a telegraph machine when she heard a voice in her head, a voice that said something along these lines, 'Will you obey me? If you will obey me, I will make you the most wonderful missionary that ever lived.'" "Oh, beloved, try the voices, try the spirits. Only the devil promises such thing." But she did not know this. She did not understand. This was exactly what she wanted. It was her heart's desire. Do you see? And she was so moved by this, the voice added, "And I will find you all the money you need." "I have never known this kind of leading to come true, and you never will as long as you live. For example, a man came to me and said, 'I have in my hands a certain food for invalids that can raise millions of dollars for the missionaries.' I said to him, 'I will not have anything to do with it. These things are not a success. God does not work that way. If God wanted you to have gold, he would make it rain on your house while you were away.'" It's funny you said it, put it that way. "He has all the gold, and the cattle on 1,000 hills are his. When anybody preaches for the kingdom's sake, God will provide. Seek only God and the rain will fall. The endowment of power will be made manifest in your mortal bodies if you are really in the spirit. Thought for today: seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit, not only for your sake, but also for the sake of others."
Ah, I love this.
That's a really important message, eh?
Yes.
All right.
When I first came to the Lord and was excited about one project or another, the Lord was almost always silent. Like I jumped into this thing and that thing, and I was just like, "Lord, is this your will for me?" Quiet. Not a peep. And I was just like, you know, just feeling my way around. But when he gave me the ministry, it was with such clarity what he wanted me to do. And it required so much risk and fear that I knew it had to be this divine appointment, because he would get all the glory. And when I cried that I was really afraid and that I couldn't believe that I was going back into battle because I'd fought for so long career-wise and stuff. He said, "Daughter, I have no plans to torture you. I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you life and a good future. But he didn't say it was going to rain money and I was going to be like the greatest preacher on the earth. Right. He was just like, don't be afraid. I didn't bring you to faith to torture you, you know? And he literally used, I did not save you to torture you. So it was, and constantly reciting to me this scripture, I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope in a future. And that's the difference. And I actually, again, I have spoken to people who hear these like fleshly satanic whispers of delusions of grandeur. And right. I was just like, does God really give you delusions of grandeur? And Wigglesworth apparently is saying, no, he doesn't.
That's you.
That's you. Your delusions of grandeur are your own. I love that he points that out. I love this whole series about testing the spirits because it's so, so important, especially when people are learning to walk with Christ for the first time, a personal relationship with him and the Holy Spirit.
Well, I knew something that happened to me because we're going on 6 years with the Business Accelerator Group, which is a mastermind business. Well, I guess it's a business that a friend of mine, Everett O'Keefe,
yes,
and Verlinda Johnson have created. Actually, the two of them created it with somebody else. I joined about 6 months, a year later. And it's for entrepreneurs, and it is to help them through, you know, marketing, help them through, bad decisions they may make. And we're kind of like a board of directors for single entrepreneurs, business owners.
And great. So like giving them voices to speak to and competent.
Yep. And then when necessary, we help them understand how it's important to write a book and do a bunch of stuff. The reason I'm giving you kind of all this layout is because all of it is in the, idea that once you get all these things correct and you have a good board of directors, that you will then make a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's the goal. Right. And so the three of us run this group and we go on retreats and all this kind of stuff. And it's always been, well, how much can you make from this? How much are you charging for this? How much work does it take? What's your ROI? What's all this kind of stuff. It's all about business and making money.
You have a hard time explaining what you're doing.
But I knew because up until about a year ago when I started doing these devotionals and I began and the people began watching them. We now do a podcast. We now do a lot of stuff together. We spend now time about an hour beforehand, somewhere in there, maybe 45 minutes beforehand, getting ready and reading through them and figuring out what it is that God wants us to say and put a lot of time into it. Yes. And so I get
ROI? What's your ROI?
So it was probably about 5 or 6 months ago, and I think I shared this with you and I may have done it before here, but all these people are looking at me because I'm one of the leaders of the group. And so they asked me, I said, so what kind of money making from this thing? You know, where are you seeing a profit? I mean, that's
right.
And I go, you know what? We're not. I go, but it's amazing. This is so, and I was trying to explain to them. I said, you have no idea since Hedy has joined me. I go, I don't know what happened, for how it helped people, but I know the people that I know, you've met Priscilla and you've met Amy on here.
Yes.
And they all began watching Pastor Jack Hibbs at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills.
Awesome.
When I was going there and then we met and you already saw them. They go, well, the reason we're there now is because Andy was telling us how great it is. Yeah. And he's right. It's great. So we have a number of people that have now gotten closer to God and through the Bible because Pastor Jack is a Bible teacher.
Yes.
And then you join me. And then I said, the greatest things happen. Because I mean, I was so excited. I was excited about making money. I was excited when I would tell people, they're charging too little. They need to charge more. And they said, oh my gosh, this has changed my life. I went from charging $25 an hour to charging $3 an hour. And now I can afford X, Y, Z.
Right.
And these are people that give me the feedback from being in the group. And now my feedback of being in the group is that, oh my gosh, we brought three Muslims onto the broadcast and they accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I was talking like I had made $1 million. It's better.
And they're looking at you like a little cross-eyed.
And so what I love now to the point in the connection with the devotional is that I love the confirmation that when God would tell me, go and do the devotional, go and
seek first the kingdom.
Right. Never did I say, well, God, where's the cashola? right? When does it begin to rain on me?
Right? What's my ROI, yeah. Lord?
And it never dawned on me. And it really didn't think about it until they asked me that day and says, so you know, how much money are you making? I go, not. We got people coming to Christ. We got Muslims that are saved. One's a police officer in San Francisco. One's this 13-year-old son.
And I
was so excited. And I didn't, it was later on, I go, oh, it wasn't. This is what it's about.
But what does he say? When you seek God first, God will provide.
Yes. And he has.
And he's providing.
Oh, it's been fantastic. So I hope that was a very long explanation.
No, it's perfect.
I just wanted to tell you that it will happen to even you.
Yes.
It's a different voice. It's a different motivation. And it's so rewarding.
Amen.
And when it's for the glory of God. And we give him the glory. It's all I go, oh my gosh, God has done some amazing things through this devotional. I mean, yes. Take me to places, introduce me to people. We see them at church now. We both can meet people that have either seen us and now come to the church because of seeing us talk about it.
Yeah.
Or we meet people and we say, you know, hey, this is what we do. And then they begin going. So it's been amazing. It's
so beautiful.
It's tremendous. It's I can't even say enough about it. It's been very good. So we get to the scripture, because one of them is long. I'm not sure how much we're going to read of that, but let's go to John 4:1 first. First John 4:1.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. And so here, this particular devotional is about testing the spirits in your own head, because we have enemy voices that come and to distract us too. So we've got to be careful of those.
Peggy Marie Hartman says amen to that.
Amen. Story. Hi, Peggy.
Yeah. God is amazing. Danielle says, absolutely. Hi. I love this.
Thank you, Danielle.
It's been so cool. All right. Thank you, Danielle. Oh, I got to get rid of it. Sorry.
So I would like to read, if you guys would bear with me, this whole story, because it's a story of Gideon and the 300 in Judges. And I just think it's really useful, because I'm sure most of us know the story of Gideon. Those of us that have attended church for any period of time, the story of Gideon and his army of 300. But now when you listen to it, think of it in the context of your walk with Christ and what the Lord may be calling you to do or has called you to do, and how strange or absurd it may sound at the time, but it's to prove God's glory in every situation. And when he calls you to it, he will provide and he will make a way and he will give the victory, because the glory is his. So Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only and it is dry on the ground, then I shall know you intend to save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it was so. When he arose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung out the dew of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, oh, don't be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test. And again, he wants another confirmation from God. So he says, I pray just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but wet on the ground, and let there be dew. And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground. So God lets us get confirmation. And I think that's a great story. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the wall of Herod. So the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. So those are the enemies of God's people, is the Midianites. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand saved me. So now, therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 people returned and 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And whoever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. So he took an army of 32,000 down to 300. So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands, and he sent away all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. It happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, go down to the camp, for I've delivered it in your hand. But if you're afraid, go to the camp with Pur, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterwards, your hand will be strengthened and you can go down against the camp. Then he went down with Pur. So again, he doesn't trust the Lord. He goes down. He wants to hear what they have to say. So now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts. So mind you, he's down to 300 men and they're as numerous as locusts down in the valley, his enemy. And their camps and their camels were without number as the sand by the seashore in multitude. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I've had a dream. And to my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it, so it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand, God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. Okay, so Gideon was all excited, heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, and that he worshiped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. He divided the 300 men into three companies and put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers, and said to them, look at me and do likewise. Watch, when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I all and all who are with me, you also blow the trumpets on every side of the camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon, of course, he says, oh, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outposts of the camp. And just as they had posted watch, they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. And every man stood in his place all around the camp. And the whole army ran out, cried, and fled. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. And the army fled to Beth Acacia towards Zerada, as far as the border of Abel Meloha by Tabith. Mm. So they literally killed each other. They heard the sound, flipped out, and killed each other.
What a crazy story.
Isn't it? Isn't it? But that's about...
That makes way more sense now.
It's about God getting the glory. First, he takes a man with very little faith who's like, okay, Lord, I mean, can you imagine in this day and age that you could like set out a carpet and say, okay, Lord, if you can make this carpet wet, when I come down in the morning, I'm going to do what you say. Can you imagine if he still manifested himself that way? I mean, who knows? Maybe he can. Maybe he does. He for sure can. But maybe he does for some people. Maybe people test the Lord that way. But even despite the testing, even despite the little faith, the Lord had him delivered. But he was strengthened in faith enough to listen to the Lord, to cut his men down from 32,000 to 300 and do this silly thing with trumpets and pitchers and torches, and was victorious.
Are there stories, mostly stories like this and the parting of the Red Sea and all that kind of stuff, is mostly in the Old Testament? Is there any reason why you didn't have his...
Well, I mean, the New Testament is filled with Jesus's miracles. Mm-hmm. And then the apostles after the resurrection in the book of Acts. Mm-hmm. So we still have miraculous encounters, but most of the Old Testament is about them disobeying, being given repeated miracles, disobeying, coming back, crying to the Lord. They're usually broken men. They have a lot of sin racked up against mm-hmm. them. They do very strange things. Like they God takes ordinary men and does extraordinary things. Right. So I think that's the story. To me, I love reading the Old Testament because it just reminds me of why we needed grace and salvation, because we're just wretched sinners and we can't get anything right without the love and grace of Christ.
I mean, you could be there and just see this whole thing happen. There's got to be a God. I mean, there's no other way that 300 men could defeat these tens of thousands of soldiers who were armed.
Right. But they only had faith for a little while. And they started all over again. I mean, the people in the wilderness, after being saved with the parting of the sea, started to worship a golden calf after 40 days. And we're dancing around naked around a cow.
And they see it collapse on their pursuers, on the, you know, the people they're trying to kill. They see that God just destroys them. And yet that's the thanks that he gets.
Exactly. And, and they're like, where's the garlic and onions? Manna was falling from the sky.
We need a little flavoring.
And they're like, this is so boring. I don't like the way this tastes. I got to need garlic and onions.
Wow.
But this is human nature, right? It's just we're just so spoiled and stubborn and selfish. And that's what the grace of Christ came here to save us from ourselves.
Yeah. And that voice in our head, that's us and not of God.
And we constantly have to be afraid of the voice that's in our head because definitely. It has delusions of grandeur.
Right. So we have Psalm 50:10.
For every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle on a thousand hills. It's all in his hands, right? If he wants to rain down money and resources, he will. Mm-hmm. If he wants to challenge us, he will do that too. He will test the limits of what we think we're capable of, again, to remind us that he is the one that is capable of all things, even when we don't think we're capable ourselves.
I love the story of the telegraph. When was the last time you heard a story that included the telegraph?
I don't remember the last time I heard a story of the telegraph.
It's one of those things that taps.
Right?
That's how they used to get messages across.
Yeah. After the pigeons?
Yeah. Yes, I had pigeons.
Yes.
Should I tell my story?
Really?
You opened the door.
I didn't think it was.
I used to raise pigeons. They were amazing.
Yes.
Yes.
Our audience is soon going to figure out that there's very little you have not done. As I have soon figured out.
The good news is I almost always have proof because I had a guy that worked for me. I told the story before, but I had this guy before me. He goes, there's no way. There's no way that you've done these things. And then I would pull out something. See, there's this. And he would go, oh my gosh, it's true.
I got to tell you, when we first started dating and you were telling me, I actually had a hard time believing some of these things. and you do have proof of them.
Yeah,
you do.
Almost always. I mean, that's also bad. You know,
to have proof?
Yeah, to have proof.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't want proof of at least the horrid things. The thing about these stories, the amazing, kind of like my stories, the amazingness of these stories is what caused of that guy. That's impossible. I mean, just to think about these things, these are the difficulties I had. And that's why I enjoy going through them with you, with Smith Wigglesworth, and then some context. And now, of course, we use other websites to look up some of the stuff. And to hear it all put together, it's just like, all right, this is so, now it's an amazing story as opposed to a weird story.
Yes.
So such a strange story, but it just makes it more, that much more spectacular when, you know, I'm learning of prophecy and some of the things about the Old Testament and then why we have the New Testament to prove what happened in the Old Testament.
Exactly. And therefore making all the other stories more real. Right? The prophetic nature of the Bible, the authenticity of the Bible makes all the stories within the Bible more real, right? Makes it more amazing. It turns from weird and strange and kooky to amazing and extraordinary about what God will do to save his people. And God so loved the earth that he gave his only son.
Absolutely. The one other thing now is that I used to think of my dreams as just like, you know, what does that mean? From my brain,
mm-hmm.
Like, why am I having a dream about, you know, some silliness, you know, being drowning, and you know, you can't get to the surface, or the dreams I used to have as a police officer that I'm in a gun battle, but my gun won't fire, and I'm pulling the trigger, and it won't pull, and then finally I get it all the way pulled, in the bullet, you can hear it in the barrel going, and then it falls out the end.
I've had same dreams,
but now.
Mine are usually fist fights, though.
Now I look at the dreams like, what is God trying to tell me?
Amen.
Is that okay?
I think so, because personal prophecy is fulfilled through dreams. So I think they're very important. It's demonstrated in Scripture, throughout Scripture. So I think it's an important part of how God speaks to us.
The only reason I thought about it is because some of my dreams are so crazy.
Well, and
spectacularly crazy.
And I mean, I just had that wonderful experience with my daughter where the last words that I kept saying to my father was, please come visit us in our dreams and let us know you're okay. And I have not, and I asked my daughter, I said, you know, he loved you so much and the Lord loves you. You're a much more innocent soul than I am. So can you please pray too? And I haven't been given a dream, but she has. And she has these really beautiful dreams of my dad watching out for her and following her where she goes. Like he was at cheer practice. He was out at a restaurant with her. And I just think it's such confirmation for us. It's the answer to my prayers to the Lord that, you know, let us know that he's okay, that he's not in torment.
That's awesome. Yeah. I have to get past my kind of dreams. The one with the,
but I think that was very telling.
Really?
The monster dream?
The monster dream?
Yeah. I still think about the monster dream. I still think about Danielle's dream.
Oh.
I mean, Danielle had a dream about us too, and about us saving people, that there was a great fire outside and we were rescuing people and bringing them into the house. And we had our first guest event at our home. And it was, and I had that same, I was reminded of Danielle's dream because it was like, you know, we invited complete strangers to our home and old friends and everybody had such a great time. It reminded me of what people have spoken over us. And yeah. I just love that. And I truly believe the Lord was speaking over us through Danielle in that dream.
Did I mention this yesterday or did I just tell this to you that I was talking to a couple of the kids and they said it's the best Thanksgiving that they've had. They had so much fun.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that. No, you didn't tell me that.
It was so cool because we had
such an eclectic group, folks.
We had the people that we just met like 5 days before.
Yes.
And then we had old friends. And then we had my oldest daughter who with her friend later on. And while we're eating, it's just like chaos upstairs. Oh, after they got done eating.
Yes.
Yelling, screaming, hide and seek, I got you. And this, but it was
pillow fights.
Laughter. It was laughter and fun. And nobody ever said, hey, what's going on upstairs? Everybody was just like going, oh, your kids are having such a good time. And it was all very positive. I didn't quite understand everything that was going on, but it was just like, wow, this is amazing what God has done
in this house. So beautiful.
And people were just enjoying each other. I mean, because your friends, Melinda and
Jeff,
I don't know why I can't remember his name. It's driving me crazy. Brought their daughter.
Yes.
Who's 13. And she just is like, Ray and her, it seemed like they connected, like they were talking and enjoying each other's company.
Yes.
It was just really, really
and cool. They started to do gymnastics routines at the end.
Oh, yeah.
They were doing a little performance, right?
Oh, just so such goodness. And
and folks, I hope for the people that don't know us, me and Andy were both train wrecks before this. So,
yeah.
So I don't want you to think that this is we're some kind of like cheesy, happy, gooey couple that was just like, oh, look, the Lord has so blessed us. He has blessed us, but we were both serious train wrecks before this. So we're just trying to tell you about the goodness of God.
Because it's so shocking.
Yes, exactly.
It should not be happening.
That's our disclaimer, folks.
Just tell, and hopefully that comes across that we're just sharing how great God is.
Like it's
not that things have not happened. Your dad just recently died of cancer, a horrible, progression of cancer. It happened very quickly.
Yes.
One night we're out having dinner with him. Then 2 weeks later,
gone.
He was passing. I've had cancer when we met. I got COVID and hospitalized while we met. So
yes.
I always want to preface that not everything is bubblegum and bubbles. I can't think of anything else.
Rainbows and unicorns.
There you go. Rainbows and unicorns. And so it's through all this chaos. You suddenly went from a single mom with one kid to a married mom with, if you include me, 7 kids.
Never. And I was not only a single mom, but I have never lived with a husband. So I've never lived with another man. The only man I've ever lived with is my father.
Right. So, I mean, that's the point, is that this is we share and we're so amazed and we love God so much that we just want you guys to know that God is fantastic. God is amazing. We are very broken people with not a lot
like a trail of bodies behind us. Not that we laugh at the misery we've caused, God, but God is so gracious. God is so gracious that he can redeem anyone. He will redeem you. He will redeem anybody who comes and lays it at the foot of the cross.
That was a heck of a way to put it.
I mean, it's true.
And you're not wrong.
You know, so
I wanted to say no, but you're right.
Yes.
Oh, wow. So amazing. God is amazing.
God is spectacular.
It's almost like the Gideon story. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
Took a potential disaster and reduced us down to about as minimum as he could make us and gave us some miracles.
Well, and I mean, that look at the apostles, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, how stubborn and unworthy were they? The murderer, you know, for the Paul, the murderer.
Yes.
Mary, the prostitute, drunken, whatever, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's just, he took all of these broken people and did miraculous things through them. So his promises are true for anybody who comes to him. Mm-hmm. It's not just us. It's not just the apostles. It's so anyone.
Cool. So cool. So we're excited today. Today's Saturday. It's our first church of the weekend, which is
yes. We've got our
California friends. Yorba Linda Friends Church. Now, every Saturday, we've been doing it now for about a month and a couple of weeks.
Awesome.
And it's been awesome. And then tomorrow morning, we go to Calvary Chapel Chino Hills
yes.
with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I can't tell you what pastor speaks at Friends Church because we never know. It's they rotate between four
and we're
pastors.
Still in Portraits of Grace, though. Yeah. So these great examples.
It's been really good. I got to tell you that I'm really so happy with that church because I wasn't always happy with that church.
Yes.
There was a time where I was very disappointed, but they've come around, I think, to some
and I've got to admit,
hard lessons.
I think, though I would really love for our kids to eventually be involved in an age-appropriate ministry. Mm-hmm. What I think is particularly suited is that Pastor Jack Calvary in the adult section is really geared to the more advanced students. You know, it's long, service is long, mm-hmm. It's complicated. His sermons are quite complicated. They give quite a bit of scripture.
Unless he's talking about squirrels and birds.
Wow, him and the squirrels. But you know what I mean? Like you really have to be a meat eater. It's not the milk of the word. It's the
milk
meat.
And sugar.
And so what I love about Friends is because we take the kids, the sermons are much shorter, much easier to understand. The worship is shorter and it gives the kids bite-sized pieces, mm-hmm. which I love. Awesome. I think it's just a perfect balance for us.
Very cool. All right. So we'll be on tomorrow after service, typically at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, and we'll revisit some of our messages that we heard today and tomorrow.
Yes.
It'll be awesome. And of course, we are on the Edify Christian Podcast Network. I'm going the wrong direction. And it is an app that you have on your phone. And there's a lot of really cool Christian podcasts that are going on there. And, you know, we're probably the biggest names on the podcast.
For sure.
Christian Network.
But delusions. There's our delusions of grandeur.
Yeah, but here's how you get the app on your phone.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's EDIFI.app. EDIFI.app.
Yes. I wonder who did that voice on that that advertisement.
It's a very good broadcaster's voice. Oh my
God. It moves me every time I hear that.
Okay, friends. God bless you. Have a great day.
God bless.
Bye. Take care.
Bye.